virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, and to patience godliness. So the next one we're coming to is godliness, and it's right up there getting up close to the top, but we got to get through patience first. Now, patience, we said, was steadfast, constancy, endurance, all right? Then we read scriptures, those who endure to the end, and then Hebrews 6:15 talking about Abraham. So after he had patiently endured, see, everybody wants to. Our problem with patience is like the old saying is, June's mother-in-law had it over in the kitchen. God give me patience, but I want it now. No, well, your stepmom. Okay. Something like that. But she, it was on her, it was in her kitchen that says, now we're on, that says, Lord, give me patience, but I want it now. Well, that's kind of not the way we want to deal with this. Because let us run with patience the race that is set before us. After he had patiently endured. So we, there's something we got to go through. In other words, this is a journey that we have to go through. And sure, we've got to become a Christian first. We've got to go through, like Brother Hank, and, you know, is wanting to be baptized and the different ones. And you got to be baptized. But the first thing you got to do, the Bible says, is repent. All right, and we have to repent every day because as Christians, we make mistakes and we do wrong. If you don't repent every day, then you're just a lot better off than I am because I have to repent every day. There ain't a day that goes by that I don't repent for something that I do. Amen? I'm talking about even little things. You know, we were talking about last night, something was brought up about lying, that when you become born again, you don't lie. Well, now, what's inside of you don't lie? But Brother Branham told a big lie. It was a little one, but he told a big one. Didn't he? He said he did. Said, tell him I'm not here. Well, he went outside. Well, when he went to pray for that baby, the Holy Ghost said, get your dirty hands. A prophet. Going to pray with a gift, with an angel, with all these gifts and things, you know, that we don't have. And the Holy Spirit said, don't put your dirty hands on that baby. Well, what happened? It was in his conscience. It wasn't in his soul, it was in his conscience. And that's where we do all of our, all these virtues. To me, it's working on our conscience. You know, that second realm, that spirit realm, the memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. That's where that these virtues develop from. Because they're already in your soul. You don't receive patience. When you get born again, you got patience. That born again person, that Genesis 1 person, has patience already. It's just inside you, waiting on you to get rid of you to get it out. Because it works from the inside out. It doesn't work from the outside in. See, working from the outside in is like Claude and I were talking about last night. That's reformation. That's Alcoholics Anonymous. That's reforming somebody. Alcoholics Anonymous is once an alcoholic, you're always an alcoholic. No, if you'll get born again, you might have been one, but you'll never be another an alcoholic. That's wiped away and done clean. Because it's devils that we deal with. Man deals with medicine, and they deal with psychology, and they deal with natural drugs, which there's nothing wrong with that. All right, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay? But we deal, as Christians, we should deal on the spiritual side, where God said, hey, if I took it away from you, it's gone. It's done. And you can't reform yourself. You can try to do it like, you know, smoking and stuff. You can try to quit. You can suppress that thing. You can push it down, and you can stand on top of it, and you should do that. But then you've got to do like Brother Tom Fallbush said. He said, God, take away the need and the desire. See, that's the right approach. Take away the need, and because your body needs that. Sure, it doesn't need it, but it needs it because when I was dipping, that my body needed that nicotine. It was a drug, just like any other drug. It's a drug. It needed it. Hank knows you eat a good meal, you want to smoke a cigarette. And, well, I put a dip in my mouth. It's that, but it's what's in your body. And sure, you can run and you can clean it out and you can, but still that devil's there. But see, you get that unclean spirit out. And when that unclean spirit went out of me, I knew that it was over. Because I had no more desire. I mean, that was no more than just picking this up. Same way with Hank. It's no problem to just do that, because it's what his body is craving. Number one, the need and the desire. You got a desire to quit the thing. But when Brother Tom prayed that, said, God, don't just fill me with the Holy Ghost. Take away the need and the desire of that, because the body is still going to crave it. But when that unclean spirit goes out, that's when you know that you won't ever need another one. There's people smoke in a room, and old smokers, you know, they usually, especially, you know, some that just naturally quit smoking, they kind of, you know, they get that little urge. But once that thing's gone, once that thing left me with the dipping and all the chewing tobacco and stuff, I mean, I got friends that do it all the time, and it no more bothers me than anything else. Why? Because that need and desire is gone, but God's drove that unclean spirit out. I can't drive it out. Same way with these virtues. I can't give myself patience. I can't give myself knowledge. I can't. But when I bring what I have, now here's the key. I kind of thought about this the other day. Excuse me. When I bring what I have, which is the Holy Ghost, when I bring that Holy Ghost into a place to where he can hear, you say, here he is, God. Yeah, he is God. But Brother Branham said he was in there waiting on you to bring the word, because that word is what's going to quicken this whole thing. The word's the key. That's why the word's so important. It's not Alcoholics Anonymous. We're not just trying to live a good life because of Alcoholics Anonymous, or what do they say, the power of positive thinking. Now, that's close. That's real close, because you got to start thinking positive. But you think positive under the auspice of the message of not even the message of the hour, the word, the Bible. You look at the Bible and you see that there was many things. Rahab the harlot. You see the woman at the well. You see the woman that washed Jesus' feet. He said, your sins are forgiven you. He said, go and sin no more. Well, now, I don't believe that woman went back to being a prostitute. I don't think Rahab the harlot. She married an Israeli general, and God brought the seed of David through that. Well, you go down to Jesus if you want to. That's okay, but that's in the spiritual part. But the natural seed line was King David. I'm talking about from Rahab and Solomon to Boaz, to Obed, to Boaz, right to David. Come right through a prostitute. So God can clean these things up and do some, I say weird things, because it's weird to me, in the Old Testament. But when you take the woman at the well and people like that, I don't think it's never recorded. But once you meet God on that basis and he says, go and sin no more, I think it's done. That's what you've got to see in your life. You've got to say that God's going to say to you, go and sin no more. Right. Yeah. Right. Sister Gwen.
How is it that David can come through Rahab the harlot when you're not supposed to come in 10 generations?
I don't know. I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. Claude's going to touch on a little bit of it today about the 400 generations. How could David come through a harlot's womb when they consider that a bastard child? But you got to remember one thing. When Rahab the harlot, when Jericho was destroyed, if you have no witnesses, she was just Rahab. She was just Rahab. She was a harlot. You can't go back and fix all that. But God done something to that woman because she took that atonement, the red string, she hung it out the window. Well, God just killed all of her accusers. What did Jesus say to the woman? What did Jesus say to the woman? They throwed the woman down and said, we caught her in the act of adultery. What do you say? In other words, if I would have been there, he said, I didn't see it. And then he starts getting rid of the woman's accusers, because he knew if they hung around long enough, they would have to stone her. Well, I don't know. But they're conscious, because Jesus keeps saying, whoever has no sin, cast the first stone. Well, Jesus knew if he could get rid of her accusers, he didn't see it happen. Now, if Jesus would have seen that woman commit adultery, he'd have had to stone her. But see, that's why Jesus don't see our sins. He hears our voice through the blood. Even a sinner's covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Right? A sinner's even covered. Right now, there's a blood covering over the earth that's here for everybody. Because Brother Bram said if he even saw us 1 second without the blood, he'd have to kill us. Because these things are against God. These are contrary. Okay, now the one inside he won't destroy. But this right here, he'd have to destroy because it was born in sin. It was born totally contrary to what God wanted. All right? But it was allowed. Then he had that blood covering because he stood as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. All right? So in answer to your question, I don't know. What about Ruth? Ruth was a Moabite. Is that right? Now, the Bible clearly says, and Claude's going to read it today if he gets to it, in Deuteronomy it says the Ammonites, and the Moabites cannot enter into the temple for the 400 generations. 400 years. 10 generations. That's 400 years, right? Now, here's Ruth. Ruth the Moabite. Well, it says bastard child. It doesn't say bastard man. It says a bastard child. No, it says a bastard child can't enter in for 400 generations. She was a Moabite. So anyway, she was a Moabite. She wasn't supposed to have nothing to do with Boaz. Well, see, we as Gentiles shouldn't have nothing to do with Christ. Right? He came to get his own people, which was the Jewish people, right? Israel was his. Israel was his, right? But here we are, Gentiles. We didn't care if there was a God, but he came to get us because he knew once that we would see him what would happen. He knew what would go on. Brother Jones, you have your hand up? Oh, go ahead. Yes, sir. No, it was a bastard child, was a child born out of wedlock. Yeah, bastard child is a child born out of wedlock. Does not have a marital.
Not today.
Now, that doesn't mean today. If you were born out of wedlock today, the blood of Jesus Christ covered you. Because remember, that was under the blood of bulls and goats. Okay? Which only would move sin. It would push it back. It didn't do away with sin. And God hated that thing so much, so he would not. You know what? It is a type of us keeping this congregation clean, because we don't allow bastards to come in here. Now, there you go, spiritual, not to the natural. Okay? Because a bastard child, remember, if you can't take correction, the Bible says you're a bastard child. Now, whether you were born of godly parents or not, if you don't take correction, you're a bastard child. So they put that bastard in there, which is a child that's born out of wedlock, which means you can't take correction, which means, in other words, you weren't born of him. You weren't born of God. You weren't born of Jesus Christ. You weren't part of that Genesis 1:26, man, which is the children of God. Absolutely. Sure. Because remember, even though that law says that for 400 years a bastard child can't enter in, his lineage after 400 years could go back in. So it wasn't forever and eternity. There was grace there, but God was going to keep that thing out until it weeded itself out. But even after 400 years, they were allowed back in. They kept records. Hey, they kept records, and they knew what went on, and they knew what was going on, and they kept records. And after 400 years, that bloodline could go back into the temple if there was nothing happened between in that 400 years. And that was a lot of people. That's a lot of people between when it happened and 400 years later. The United States is only a couple hundred years old, so, man, it's, you know, you're looking at 400 years. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Right. Yeah, when Jesus died at Calvary and gave his life for us, then we have the perpetuation now that he can do away with that situation. Because remember, you didn't have nothing to do with it. Okay? You didn't have nothing to do with it. So God will not, a bastard child is one that won't take correction. Now, that's what the New Testament comes up now and says, all right, I don't care how holy you were born. If you go against the word of God or you don't take correction, then you're just like that bastard child that was in the Old Testament that physically couldn't enter into the temple. All right? And I didn't say that. God did. All right? So we have to deal with that. But we remember with Rahab and all these ones and types in the Old Testament that there is grace. Everybody sees the law in the Old Testament, but man, I see grace when I see Rahab. Woo! I see grace when I see Ruth. I see grace when I see these people that that do things that seemingly is wrong. That would be wrong now, like having a prophet go marry a prostitute. Boy, you better not do that in the New Testament. See what I mean? But the Old Testament carried over, and that's why that... Now let's bring it back to patience. That's why that word patience is not in the Old Testament. That word patience. Don't look up that word. There's no word patience. Now Abraham had patience. Job had patience, but it was only when Paul come over and wrote about it in the New Testament, he showed that they had patience, but patience was not dealt with in the Old Testament because they weren't born again. They didn't have anything to keep them patient. Job was a type, and so was Abraham was a type. Because remember, Abraham is not my father genetically. Okay? Abraham's not my father genetically. But he is my father. He is the father of the faith that I have. Okay? He's the father of the faith that I have. I have faith because I can look back at Abraham and see that he was 99 years old. See, he was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old. And God changed him back and gave him a child and gave him all these promises. What about a man that said, Abraham, wherever the soles of your feet, remember when I preached on footprints means redemption. Everywhere you walk, Abraham's yours. It's yours. Wherever you go, doesn't matter. It's all yours. Every bit of it. It's all yours. Now, buddy, that's a possession. Okay? But he had patience. All right? Now, let's look in James just a second, and we're going to go up front. Be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord, James 5:7. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience for it until he received the early and latter rain. James 5:8, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. See, as an example of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Now, endure is the same thing. Endure means patience. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, and the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now I'm going to swap over here and read a quote on my patience number 2. Now you may not be able to read all that, but I changed the fonts a little bit. Let's read this one right here and then we'll quit and go upstairs. Shreveport, Louisiana, 1956. No wonder Paul could stand in the face of death and say, oh death, where's your sting? Grave, where's your victory? Sure. Through tribulations he had learned the love of God. Through tribulations, he had learned the love of God. Suffering brings patience. Remember I told you the other day, Claude and I were talking about suffering is a part of joy. Suffering is a part of happiness. You can't be happy about something if you hadn't had a little suffering to go with it. Right? Suffering brings patience. Works tribulation to bring patience, of course. Now, patience makes love. Trust. And when that bull got within about 6 or 8 feet of me, now some of you that don't know, Hank and Martha, that Brother Branham was walking through a field one day, going to pray for a man, or anyway, he stopped on the side of the road, and instead of going around the field, he cut through the field, jumped over the fence and went through the field. Well, there was a killer bull in that fence that had already killed one man, and had the big horns, and he was huge and everything, you know. And he charged Brother Branham, and Brother Branham said, now look, patience makes love. And when that bull got within 6 to 8 feet of me, he just threw his feet out and stopped. And he looked at me. He looked this way and he looked that way, so depleted, just quieting right down, walked over and laid down. I walked within 5 feet of that bull, and he never even turned and looked at me. I walked right out of that pasture. What is it? It was the love of God, the power of God. He had come to a place where he had patience. He didn't turn around and run when the bull came. He stood his ground, all right? But what? Something came over him, supernatural, not natural. Natural, we'd turn and run. But supernatural took over, and his patience through suffering. He's telling the story, works tribulation to bring patience, of course. Now, patience makes love. So being patient with the bull, he was able to overcome that. And the Bible says, in your patience, possess ye your soul. Well, you know what's going to happen is we'll read the rest of it next Sunday, but patience, Brother Brown said, is faith, because how can you have patience with something if you don't believe? If you don't believe God's going to do what he said he's going to do, why have patience? That's why people in the world are just going all the time, blah, 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 this and that and the other, because they don't have patience. Brother Brown said, have patience with God, that he would do what he said he was going to do. True? All right, let's go. Oh, sorry. Yeah, remind me. Remind me and I'll touch on that. Anderson, I forgot you were down there.